and thinking, oh, what wretched kind of people would ever do such a thing like that? Hypocrites love to dress and act holy, but they're filled with all kind of sin. They try to hide their own sin by pointing it out in others. This is kind of a brilliant strategy. We will dress up like we're holy, and then we'll talk about your sin, and your sin, and you, sir, and you, madam, and everybody, I don't want them to point me out. I'm going to behave myself as best as I can, and nobody's looking at them. They don't see the glaring cracks. They don't see the hypocrisy coming out in just the finger pointing that's going on. They've got everybody on their heels, and everybody's afraid. Whenever these guys come in the room, everybody gasps a little bit and kind of checks. It's sort of like when you're going down the turnpike and there's a police car around the corner. You check your speedometer right away because they're holier than me, and, you know, I can get in trouble here. And they had them all hoodwinked. Well, imagine what would happen if Jesus blew the lid off this whole hypocrisy thing there in Jerusalem. The whole system was predicated upon these guys being holy people. And they exacted out of folk extra tithe and offerings and this, that, and the other thing. They lived high. The people lived low. And it was a great setup. They're fleecing the people through the facade of religious dedication. They're living in nice villas. They're riding around in the fancy chariots. They've got the finer robes that they're wearing. And everybody just thinks they're the greatest thing on earth. Wow. How in the world do you do that? But if the hypocrites were ever exposed, they'd lose those cushy positions in their fancy lives. So that's why Jesus is such a threat here. He keeps talking about the hypocrites and the so on. He's exposing them. You do this and you do that. And they need to shut him up. Because if the people wake up, they're going to go from the temple to the jail, if they're lucky, if not to the noose itself, by the time the folk are discovering. And you wonder, you know, is it possible to be so dirty with such exposure? So I ask the question, is it possible for a public figure to be outwardly thought of as a hero when in actuality they are fleecing their society? Is that possible? Well, thank God nothing like that happens today. COVID! Excuse me. COVID! Something stuck in my throat there. That they could put a set of rules on people and make the people obey them while they are doing the exact opposite and actually profiting from the trauma and the stress that they're putting everybody else through. Well, that was the gig that the Pharisees and chief priests and so on had going on. And Jesus knows what's up and he's exposing it. And that's why they want to shut him up. So I can imagine Jesus is saying something like, some of these wolves masquerading as sheep will even go so far as to publicly humiliate someone in order for themselves to look good. And the doors burst open, and these guys come in and they shove this lady down to her knees and they announce to the crowd, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. The law says we should stone her to death. Then they look right at Jesus and, what do you say? And they've got that superior look in there face, and they got that silly little grin. You know, there's more going on here than there any concern for this young lady. And it gets real quiet. And maybe the crowd that he's been speaking to gets a little jittery. Why doesn't Jesus answer them? Do they have a point of some kind? Maybe what they've been saying about Jesus is right. What is Jesus going to do? Are we going to have to stone this lady? I don't want to stone anybody. I didn't even have breakfast yet. And all they say, what's going to happen? The accusers are very excited. They think they've got him now. And Jesus' silence, they're building up their boldness. They probably reiterate the question in several different ways. So what are we going to do with her, Jesus? What do you say? Jesus is just writing on the ground, just very quietly, and everybody is waiting. Finally, he stands up, and everybody gets extra quiet. And he says, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And then he just goes down to writing on the ground again. For a moment, everybody just waits. Because all the dudes who are accusing are sure that one of them is going to come up with this pithy little answer, and they're going to nail him really good now. But no such comment comes. And from the oldest to the youngest, the accusers start walking out of the room. And the older guys were the guys who were supposed to know what to say right now. They're the ones in charge. They, in fact, it was probably their idea to come and do this. And now they're leaving. And so finally, the younger ones tuck their tail between their legs and they scurry off after the other ones who are gone. And the crowd is still there. And the lady is there. And Jesus is still writing on the ground. He straightens up again, and everybody in the room is wondering what's going to happen next. And he said, "Well, where are all your accusers? Is no one here to condemn you?" "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you." None of the accusers was qualified to be the lady's executioner. What was the qualification? "Let he who is without sin cast." There was one in the room without sin, wasn't there? There was one that was qualified. He could have condemned, but he didn't. He chose to forgive and rehabilitate rather than condemn. I remember I grew up in a church where we were hellfire and brimstone most of the time. And I remember going to that altar time and again and thinking I was on the edge of hell, ready to be cast into the fire for all eternity, and crying, "My oh, please don't forgive me, Lord," you know, on and on. But I remember when I really had a conversion experience with the Lord, making it to the altar, and I really just was there to surrender. The preacher had convicted me. The Holy Spirit had convicted me. I was convinced I was that dirty little sinner, that little nine-year-old, you know, Al Capone. I deserved it all. I was ready to get cast in and all. And I was just kind of giving up. I said, "Well, Lord, here I am. Go ahead and vaporize me, because I'm..." But I didn't find an angry, wrathful God when I got to the altar. I found arms wide open. I found forgiveness. I found peace and joy and content like I'd never felt before. That's our Jesus. Amen. Now imagine this young lady. Early in the morning, she is pulled right out of bed. She is roughly treated and hurried along the streets as they're headed toward the temple. "What are you doing to me? What's this all about? Somebody, won't you answer me?" The doors are fling open, and there she is, thrown onto the floor here in the temple. She's exposed to the public's eye, and it's announced, "We caught her in the very act of adultery." And everybody turns again. Oh, she's hiding and just wants to be anywhere but here. And I wouldn't even mind being dead right now if it was just for, Oh my, the shame, the disgrace. And they're saying nasty things to her, and they're talking about stoning her. And she's afraid. Whatever happens next can't be good. Of all the scenarios she can work out in her mind, her reputation is now destroyed. She's not going to be able to lift her face again in public. It's all bad. But Jesus speaks, and the accusers go away. But what now? Maybe this is worse. What's Jesus going to say? What's he going to do? Want to get away? And he looks at her, and he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You're free. You're free." There's an extension of mercy and forgiveness that brings the power of God to bear on whatever had us bound. Adultery is a bondage most foul. It lies to you. It grips you. And there's no letting go. Especially when it is done on the down low, which is almost always the case. You don't want to be found out. You don't want anybody to know. There are ramifications to this. And you may try to let go. You wanted to quit 1,000 times. You rehearsed the speech in your mind how you were going to tell your husband or your wife. You went through all of the scenarios and I got to get, and yet you keep going back. And every time you say, that's the last time. But it never is. You ever had to wrestle with your flesh? How many diets have you been on in your life? How's that going? How's your exercise routine doing? Well, we can make these resolutions and the doctor, how many of the doctor told you and that was enough for you? You're on it now and it's been good ever since. Fruits and vegetables for you. On a splurge day, you'll have a banana. Not a banana split, a banana. And wouldn't it be great if all you ever had to do was tell somebody something and their behavior would change? You ever have a thing in your house called children? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could tell your kid once, no, and they never did it again? Or you said, you know, you're old enough now. I want you to clean your room every day. You make your bed. You pick up your clothes. Put them in the laundry. You had them doing their own laundry by the time they were 5 years old. You know, all you'd have to do is say it to them. It would make sense. And they would be changed. So anybody else might have said to this woman, go and leave your life of sin. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. Duh. Wouldn't it be wonderful if saying something would just, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could tell ourselves something? Now, Joel, no more chocolate cake. I don't care if Kathy Altland baked it or not. No more chocolate cake. Oh, that makes sense. Yes, I've read some studies about what sugar does to us and, you know, what fool would eat sugar. I've decided I'm not eating anymore. And I'm... Now, let me tell you, I have made that promise to myself probably over 233 times. And I'm able to keep it until there's another chocolate cake available. And then my flesh kind of... But Jesus has the ability to say, go and don't do that anymore. And suddenly, you don't have to do that anymore. You have been... I can imagine a freedom in this young lady's life. When Jesus speaks to her, I can hear the unclinking of a chain. I can see a shackle falling to that stone floor. Suddenly she's lighter. A moment before she was so embarrassed, she just wanted to die. But now she's free. She's got the biggest smile she's had in the longest time on her face. And she goes out of there light as a feather. Can you imagine the old prudes out there that drug her in? They left. I'll bet a lot of them didn't go very far because they're waiting to see what would happen. And here the lady they drag comes out with a big smile on her face. I wonder if she didn't stop and kiss one or two of them on the cheek. Give them a hug and say, thank you. That's the best thing ever happened to me. Boy, wouldn't that have been a great end to the story? And people that saw her might ask, what happened to you? What happened to me? I was caught in the very act of adultery. Well, then, why are you smiling? Oh, well, that's not the end of the story. In fact, it got darker, it got worse. It was the most miserable moment of my life. They drug me in front of Jesus, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what I was. You know, this morning I was an adulteress. This afternoon, I'm a holy woman of God. Clean, forgiven, and set free. I don't know all of the story, but wow. Free indeed. Adultery comes with chains that bind. Every sin does. And the more we give way to it, the tighter they come. We always think we're in control. We can quit at any time. Isn't that the lie of Satan? By God's grace, this lady was caught, but not just caught, brought to Jesus. Don't wait for somebody else to catch you. Catch yourself. Take yourself to Jesus. It may be necessary for you to confess to somebody else. Doesn't the Bible say, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed? I would expect it to say forgiven, wouldn't you? But it says healed. Confess your faults, confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. And when you bring it out of the closet, when you bring it out of the dark, you know, as long as it's, you don't, nobody knows, and I got to keep this quiet, that's so exhausting. And you think it's hidden from everybody and all that, and maybe it is. But when you bring it out into the open, it goes from mold to the fragrance of spring. I've dealt with a number of people. If anybody ever finds out about this. And I said, well, they're not going to hear it from me. But I'll tell you what. When God really sets you free from this, you're going to tell other people about it because it's going to become a testimony. And you're going to be able to help other people who are dealing and struggling with the very same thing. And I've seen it happen over and over again. I've seen people so afraid. And you can't keep sin hidden. You just can't. It would be like trying to keep your pet gerbil in your pocket, you know, in church with nobody else knowing. Excuse me. Must be the burrito I had for breakfast. Sooner or later, you know, it's going to be exposed. But if you're the one to expose it, if you're the one to confess it, Jesus will set you free. And what you previously were ashamed of, well, it's not like you're proud of that, but you're so proud of your Savior. You want to brag on Him. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what He did for me. Now, of course, this woman can choose to return to her sin, but hopefully she didn't do that. Hopefully she took this freedom that she had and stayed free, not going back to the muck, the mire, and the like. So I picture Jesus is teaching to His crowd. They're enjoying it. He's talking about hypocrisy to them. In burst these people, thinking they're in interruption to what He's speaking about. But it would be just as if Jesus said, well, for example, and then the doors break open and they throw her down. And what do you say? Let he who is without sin, neither do I condemn you. She went from a mess to a smile, to dancing out of there. I can imagine what happens next is the crowd, the original crowd he was with, give him a standing ovation. Dude, spot on. How did you do it? We didn't see that one coming. That one, wow. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So you can run with the world. You can do as they have mapped out. This is the good life. This is how you have fun. These are the things. And you'll get yourself in a mess. The good news is no matter how deep a mess you got yourself into, Jesus is still in the releasing business. He's still in the forgiving, restoration business. And if you'll bring that to the Lord, He'll set you free. If you are one of those miserable souls that likes to everybody to think you're a good Christian, you dress the part, you try to talk the part, you try to act real holy around other Christians and that kind of thing, but there's a darkness, there's a wickedness, your thought life stinks, and maybe some of your activities and everything else, please, come out of the dark. Come out of the dark. There's none righteous, no, not one. So you're in good company. We are all a mess. But those of us who have really been to the cross, a good mess, that's right. He makes something beautiful out of something that was so ugly a moment ago. You can choose the path of the world, or you can come to Jesus. Can I put it this way? Real joy, real peace only comes through Jesus Christ. You can keep chasing your tail your whole life long and you'll never find what you're looking for. Or you can come to Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's all true in Jesus Christ. As for me, I choose Jesus. What about you? Don't do it halfway. Well, I'll dress up, I'll go to church, I'll put my thought life, my whatever. No, no. Bring it all. Don't wait for somebody else to drag you. Drag yourself. Surrender to the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Glorious day.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my doom till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my doom till I met you. You called my name and I ran out the train. Head of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out the train. Head of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old they knew, Jesus, when I met you. You called me. But chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name,
sorry about that. Father, thank you that there's a new day for every one of us in Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm thankful for those forgiving eyes. I'm thankful for those open arms. And wherever we're at today, God, we just turn toward you now. Lord, we can mess things up so quickly and easily. Thank you for being such a dear friend, that you catch us in the act. If you have to, you'll expose us to the public. But it's all with bringing us to a place of forgiveness and restoration in Jesus Christ. Lord, if we have any friends here who are, maybe they think they're getting away with something. Maybe they think they have the best of both worlds. There's no such thing. Lord, bring him back home. I remember David, he did the most disgusting things. He slept with his friend's wife. She got pregnant. He had the friend murdered. He thought he'd gotten away with it. But then after he repented, he had to confess, you know, I didn't feel right about it any time along the way. I'm so glad I got exposed. So glad to make things right. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose guilt is covered. Hallelujah. Lord, we surrender to you, and we surrender to your will. Help us to walk in that. And when we stumble, help us to own it. Lord, help us to confess and repent and make it right with those that we love. And we'll thank you for your help in life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.